Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Yo, go, let's go, baby. Good catch.
Good catch. I appreciate you, man. Thank you. Yo, have you noticed something a little different going on with QV?
What? Nah.
No. No.
I will. Kind of.
Right, come on, bring it in. Here we go. All right, we're going to explode to gun, rubber, right flip, zebra stat, wide drag, X, hook, line, and sinker. I'll tell you. F trail can. I move on without her, fellas. Yeah. Sorry. 52, sprint jaw, easy. That's a lie. No one ever tells you it's going to be easy. All right, on two. On our two-year anniversary, guys. Ready?
Right. By a fart.
Life's a Wreck.
What's going on, everyone? I'm Kyle Moore. Welcome back to Life's a Wreck. This is the podcast where we celebrate. Celebrate being the key word, a world more mental, and destigmatize all things mental health through sharing stories and experiences and just sitting down and having a good old authentic chat. If you want more Life's a Wreck content and to watch an extended interview with today's guest, head on over to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram at Life's a Wreck Podcast. Very excited for the conversation today because it centers around a variety of topics, but there's an element of something I've been thinking about recently that plays a big role in my chat with our guest today, and that's been gratitude. And what's been playing on my mind has not just been gratitude in the good, gratitude in the things that are going well and giving thanks, which is important, but it's really been finding gratitude in the shortcomings and the missteps and the times that I've fallen short. And gratitude because it's from those times that when I look at my life, when I reflect on my life, and especially over the past couple of years, I've seen some of the growth that I'm most proud of as a person. I found that by acknowledging the things that have happened in my life, but through the lens of, wow, they've made me a person that I'm really, really happy with, a person that I'm proud of, it has just been a fantastic exercise in gratitude and something that's really helped me navigate some kind of difficult terrain recently. So that's been something that make sure to get your gratitude practices in, everybody. But and this theme of gratitude is it's an underlying pulse of my conversation with today's guest. You know, the conversation surrounding failing forward, failing to success, understanding the lessons that can be learned through turbulent times, and appreciating the person that you become at every stage of your life, and reshaping identity and gratitude playing a role in all of it. I'm excited. I am grateful to introduce you to today's guest, Max Brown. In high school, Max was the number one football recruit in the entire United States. And some talking heads in the world of sports were even saying that this guy was going to be the next Peyton Manning. He was offered a full ride scholarship to USC at 14 years old and was considered to be a shoo-in to one day play in the big leagues, to play in the NFL. His football journey was defined by patience and resilience, heartbreak, and growth through failure as Max found himself in backup roles and then suffered a severe injury during his final season of college football. The same people who labeled him as the NFL's next golden boy turned their attention to terms like bust. Flash forward to today, Max is a commercial real estate agent, a college football analyst, and a content creator. His content ranges from some of the greatest... The Max Brown breakdown is straight up some of the best football content on Instagram. So listen, his socials will be plugged at the end of the episode. Make sure to look this guy up on social media if you're a football fan. Also sharing tips on how to stay mentally healthy as an athlete and sharing a story about failing his way to success. Max is a fantastic guy, and his vulnerability and authenticity is something that anyone, athlete or not, can aspire to. I am super stoked to share the chat with you today. Max, welcome to the podcast. How you doing?
I appreciate that, man. I'm doing well. Honestly, I'm doing well. It's funny being an athlete. I think I view my life in seasons, just the way that I grew up, right? It was football season, it was basketball season, it was baseball season, and then that was, you know, how the early part of my adult life was. And I feel like now that I'm in my late 20s, I still carry over that mindset. And I had a frustrating call it Q1 of this year, just work-wise and some of the wellness stuff and just getting in a rhythm. And I felt like Q2, I kind of bounced back and righted the ship with a lot of those dynamics. And now obviously we just started Q3, or as some folks say, the second half of the year, you know, trying to level up on that. And feel like I'm in a good space mentally. I've been working to get back from like a workout routine and posting content consistently. So in a rhythm with some aspects of my life that I feel like I was not executing on in prior seasons. And so I'm doing good, man. Appreciate it.
I love it, man. I love to hear it. Speaking of the creating content and really kind of being forward facing with your story, your experiences, this journey that you've been on since like what, 17, 16? Like, where do you say like the story kind of like starts?
The story starts probably when I was like 5 years old. That's when my that's when my football journey starts. And that's obviously what you're alluding to in 16, 17, 18 is that's really when I started to produce content and really started to lean into this message of, you know, my story, which obviously started when I was a little kid. And my story, the peak of it is being the number one quarterback in the country coming out of high school in the class of 2013. And then the trials, tribulations, and successes of that college journey for me. And then a lot of my brand now is life after football and life after, quote unquote, not making it. And what does that look like? And having to pivot in life and the labels that you have to deal with and creating new identities and moving forward from certain aspects. Like, that's my life now, which it's a unique pillar. There's not a lot of creators out there that I think are speaking to that message. And it's been fun to dive into that because it's my life, it's my story. So it's fulfilling. It's really fulfilling kind of talking about that and people pulling value from the story.
Why'd you decide to start telling the story? Like, what, I mean, cause that's the thing, right? Is it's like, it's so easy to just ride off into the sunset, be like, oh, whatever. Like, I, you know, I'm just going to kind of go do my own thing, flip it, you know, talk about seasons. I'm going to start this next season of my life and I don't need to bring people along with me. I can just go do my thing. So like, why tell the story? Why be so public and kind of bring everybody along?
One side's tactical. The other side is more of just like a burning fire in my heart, so to speak. The tactical side, when I graduated college and it was, or when I moved on from football and it was like, all right, what are you going to do after football? I had an eye that, hey, this whole content thing, like this isn't slowing down anytime soon. And this is pre TikTok, but this is, you know, 2016, that's where influencer was a term, but it had a heavy negative connotation. It was not widely accepted like it is now. And I think I was very like, no, this is a tremendous business opportunity just from the simple fact of building brand. So I'd be lying if I said that's not at least just one aspect of why I've leaned into it. But the other side is just the fulfillment lens. I think in my day-to-day, if I post a good piece of content and I have a valuable conversation in the DMs with a stranger, that's as fulfilling as really anything in my life now. And it's cool to post that topic about my football career and people, you know, pinging me, or even 6 months down the road where it's, hey man, haven't seen you in a few years, but I saw that video and that was really cool. Yeah. And there's a connection piece to it that, you know, really lights me up. And, the challenge for me, I'd be lying if I sat here and said, hey, I have the whole content thing figured out. I've always said I've been consistently inconsistent really over the last 5 years of posting, posting content. Been better lately, but now it's on me just to keep rocking and rolling with it.
I love it, man. With this identity that comes with being an athlete, and then, you know, I think that there's so many different, you know, whether they be broadcast, you know, content creating teams or broadcast channels, whatever it may be, who are really starting to kind of really focus on this athlete storytelling, creating, like being in charge, having agency over your own narrative. You know, I'm just kind of curious, like, why do you think it is that we find so many athletes almost needing to tell their own story? Because the labels that are put on them are so definitive. It's this idea of you are an athlete who didn't, you know, reach the top of the peak. So you are a failure. You as an individual are a failure. And then a lot of athletes we see kind of taking that narrative back and being like, shit didn't work out. Like, you know, it's you didn't get the promotion at your job, but you don't have 50,000 people on social media being like, boo, you suck, you know? So it's like this very, you know, it's this very kind of unique perspective on life. And I'm just kind of curious why you think we've seen this uptick in athlete-centered, athlete-controlled storytelling.
I think it pulls from both buckets that I alluded to before in terms of like, one, I think it's a tactical lens, right? There's a lot of athletes that have looked around and said, wait, I'm a better player than this guy. Yet that guy's got a much larger audience. He's got way more brand deals. He's got bigger deals, and he's making more money. And I think that's one component, especially with college athletes in the NIL space, name, image, and likeness, and being able to be paid for your brand. If you look at the top 10 NIL athletes, it is not correlated to how good you are on the field. Don't get me wrong. there's a portion of that. But it's not apples to apples. So I think that's a huge component. But I think you alluded to the other aspect too of there's a huge community of athletes that don't want to be put in a bucket of just being an athlete and want to be viewed as, even if it's, they want to be viewed as a gamer. I mean, I remember the OG maybe athlete influencer for some people was Juju Smith-Schuster, who I played with in college. Yeah. And he, you know, he got his start in large part from the gaming space and, you know, showing that that was a big aspect of his life. And then he's been able to do brand deals with that. And just it's more than an athlete. That narrative that's been around sports a bunch, I think that's a big driving factor for athletes wanting to build brand on social.
Yeah. Huge shout out to Juju. I went to a conference recently and he was doing a talk on kind of like life after athletics. And it was really, really cool to see. I love to talk on this kind of, because one of the things that I think drew me so much to your content and kind of who you are as a person has been your mindset. Because, I mean, it's so easy to kind of like go through the trials and tribulations of sports. Like you said, you're number one QB in the country. And then, you know, just through circumstances, like things just don't work out in that particular channel of life. But yet kind of still continuing to like, I don't know, it seems like you approach life with a really great mindset. I think one of the things I heard along the way of kind of doing a little bit of research for this pod was this idea of like attack life. And I'd love if you could kind of explain like what that means to you.
Attack life. Yeah. A term that I've used a bunch over the years is just keep stacking days, like that mentality of, you know, just keep showing up, showing up in your life for just for yourself, for your business, whatever it is. But yeah, I appreciate you saying that, the mindset component, because I do get pushback on the mindset in terms of a big message a big message of mine is, you know, I'm a bust. That is what it is. And people pound the drum saying, no, you're not, Max. No, you're not. And if I'm not a bust, then introduce me to the dude who is. And I think people hear the term failure, that people hear the term fail, people hear the term bust, and bust is obviously heavy. And I'm not naive to that. But like, that's just the reality of where it is. When you're the number one quarterback in the country, projected to be the next XYZ, and I didn't come remotely close to that. Like, that's the reality. And I've found a lot of freedom in accepting that, a lot of freedom in being accountable to that. And it doesn't have to be a death sentence. I think that's the big missing piece of how I view it and how other people might, you know, push back on that mentality of, hey, that was a chapter of my life that I can still look back on all the successes in high school. Some of my best friends to this day are my high school buddies. I can still look back on the good pieces of college, but I'd be lying if I sat here and said, college was this great time football wise. That's not the case. And that's okay. That's okay. Yeah. I think a lot of people push back on, well, you're so lucky to be at SC. And yes, you can have both. I can be lucky and blessed to have that opportunity at SC. I met my wife there. That was amazing. But it also sucked in many components. And that's okay too. And so I think this mindset of it not having to be like, oh, I'm raising the white flag on my entire life as a result of a chapter of my football chapter. Yeah. I push back on that. And I hope that my content and messaging shows people that, hey, me at 28 is a different, I'm in a different place. I would like to think I'm relatively the same dude mentally, mm-hmm. but in a different place than where I was at 23, than where I was at 18. And the different chapters in life, you can just roll with the punches and pivot accordingly. And that's how I'm wired. I get where people push back, and I know people are always their heart's in the right spot, but it doesn't relate to me in many regards. And it's been cool because I know there's other people out there that approach their life in a similar manner.
How would you say that your identity changed from, 17 and did you identify as a football player? Like, was that a kind of a key component of like who Max Brown was, is like, I play football?
100%, dude. 100%. Yeah. And it's funny. I actually went to the premiere of Netflix's new quarterback doc that.
I'm excited to see it.
It's sweet, dude. It's
cool.
Sweet.
Nice.
Any football fan, like, that's going to spark the football bug for 2023 and the season ahead for them. But even if you're not a football fan, like, it's cool. I mean, it's the most important position in sports, and it's the most scrutinized position, at least in our country, in sports. And so to get an inside lens in that, I mean, it was sweet. But I bring up that point because it reminded me of what felt like a different lifetime ago. Like, I was quarterback Max from 5 to 24, right? If you said my name to most people that knew me, most people that knew me, it was quarterback. That's the guy that plays quarterback, whether it was at my high school and in my hometown or at USC. But then I'm 5 years removed now, and that's just not front and center of my life. I mean, I have jerseys and helmets and footballs and whatnot, so I'm always reminded of it, but I don't wake up of, how can I become a better quarterback today? It's not my mentality. And it's trippy watching that doc because a lot of their day-to-day is what I wasn't in the NFL, but I lived that in the college scene. I lived that in the high school scene, and that was my identity. And now it's just not, which is okay. I'd be lying if I said, like, there's part of me that's like, man, I miss those days. And man, it would have been cool to do X, Y, Z. But I also sit there and like, I'm proud of the post-football life that I've built and the fact that there's a lot of people that, and I've really noticed it this past year, there's a lot of people that see my content. And when I post football stuff, they're like, wait, what? Like, and my wife has a large social media following. So there's some of that of like, wait, what? You're Vic's husband. Like, what? You were a quarterback?
Right,
and I almost chuckle because it's like, I mean, once upon a time, like, that was front and center for everyone.
Yeah. Oh, back in the glory days. Yeah. You know, I used to chuck it around the yard a little bit.
The classic one-liner.
Yeah. So because you had this like strong kind of tie to sports as an identity, I really find, and this is something that was it kind of a key, you talk about chapters and seasons in life. There was definitely a season in my own life recently that was very much defined versus fail versus like a failure as an identity versus like just a failure as a lesson. And so because of the fact that you had this strong identity to football, when that didn't work, when there was like a failure there, did it feel like you as an individual were a failure? Or has your mindset always been that like failing is just a part of the whole experience? It's just a learning experience. I got to move on one to the next.
To me, it's, two pieces of a pie. And over the years that dynamic's kind of shifted, or how that pie segmented is shifted. Like when I got benched at USC, I would say the majority of that pie, I did feel like a failure. Like that's just the reality of where it was when it was raw and when it was fresh. But then that's where I think grittiness comes into play, right? Can you dig in? Can you dig your heels in, and can you carve, like, get out of that? Like for me, I work, you don't have to do that alone. You can do that with support systems. And I visited a sports psychologist because I had the awareness that, hey, I was quarterback Max. And when quarterback Max didn't work, and a lot of criticism, both publicly and behind closed doors, like, of course, that's going to like, your identity is going to feel like a failure in that one, maybe season of life, to kind of bring that full circle. So I think I do want to be, like, honest in that regard. But then as the months go on, as the years go on, and you step back a little bit, then that's where it comes a lesson, and it becomes an experience. And I think you have a choice to make right there. Are you going to just, you know, have that be your one moment of your life, and it's all, mm-hmm. I was a failure and here we go. And right. at every family dinner, you're always talking about how much you got screwed and all those things. Mm. Like I know a lot of guys like that. Or are you going to say, you know, this is part of my journey, and what can I learn from this? And can it give me more perspective? I think for me, my football journey has given me a lot of, like I said, freedom. It's given me a lot of risk tolerance to pursue things in my career, because I've shown myself that, hey, when I fail in the biggest way, at least for me, football not working out, that I can pivot, that I can get through that. And I'll find a way. It might not be perfect. It might not be easy, but I'll find a way to keep going. And so I think there's bits and pieces to that, but especially early on when it's raw, those are the difficult times. And I think that's where you got to be gritty to have the awareness of, hey, what can I turn to get help? And, you know, if you're, if you're a dude that, you know, is really wanting to attack life and accomplish something, I think you got to look at it as a lesson and an experience.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of support systems, one of the things I think can be most difficult is seeing how a personal experience affects the people around you, where it's like, hey, I'm okay, I'm good, I can handle this, I can shoulder this load, I can keep putting one foot in front of the other and keep going. But then when people love you, there's this kind of almost instinct to be like, I want to shelter you from this hurt, this pain and all of the shit that's going on around you. And I'm just kind of curious, like, while you were going through these really trying times, I mean, you know, I'm sure I don't feel like you get to that point of football success without a good support system. And I'm kind of curious, like, how your support systems handled the experiences that you went through throughout university and into, you know, your young 20s.
It's a really good question, man. And I've been asked variations of that, but the way you prefaced it, I think is really insightful, because for me, I always look back and I was really fortunate. My parents and my brothers, they never really got caught up in the football hoopla of kind of where I was at. Like, they never really bought into this number one quarterback in the country, my shit doesn't stink, like I'm untouchable. they never bought into that. And that's rare. If for your listeners, I would say the majority of quarterback parents and families buy into that. And I get it. It's a fun time, right? When you're a big time recruit and every coach is coming into your living room saying you're the next best thing. Right. It's not even like they're bad people or anything. It's just easy to buy into that. I mean, you see it all the time with top level athletes is, you know, their parents get involved, and then it becomes part of the parents' identity, becomes part of the family's identity. And then when it doesn't work out, that's where that relationship gets strained, right? If you're a high level athlete and you're used to playing well in high school, and then you come home and your parents are saying how good you are, boom, 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 boom. My parents never did that. My dad was the guy that sat in like the corner of the stands, not because he didn't care. He was the first guy into the stadium, but he never really bought into that little, the ego that can fall into parents in sports. And so when things were going great, at times it was, you know, I think some parents were like, Mac, like Mike, you're really low key, like all that type of stuff. But then when things didn't go well, my relationship with my parents didn't change, which was a blessing, and I think helped me get through those difficult times. And same with my friends, for sure. I mean, my friends, it was for my close knit circle. I was not quarterback Max first. I was their buddy Max. And I think when football didn't work out, my relationship with them didn't change, and that was great too. And then with my wife, who at the time was my girlfriend during football, similar deal. And I also think it was interesting, like, she wasn't there when I had football success, which we always kind of joke about now. And so she obviously understands the magnitude, and her brother played high level athletics. So, you know, she certainly understands it, but our relationship, you know, she almost doesn't know what that feels like. So there was no basis of comparison for what that top of the top looked like and felt like. So in that regard, there wasn't a huge adjustment or swing back and forth, which made the transition a little bit easier, and super blessed to have an awesome supporting cast around me.
Do you have any advice for a young athlete who is trying to find those people? Because that's not easy. Like, it's so, like you said, it's so easy to get caught up. I mean, like, I can't lie to you, man. When you're talking about this stuff, like that baby Gronk, which has like been so in the news lately, that shit was popping into my head being like, you know, this identity and like, you need to succeed to like feed my own ego kind of thing from a parent's perspective. Like, I feel like it's kind of easy to buy into the you want to ride the hype train with this person. This person's the conductor. They're the front, you know, car, but you're trying to hop on the caboose and ride this as far as you can. It's going to get you into the clubs. You're going to meet great people. Oh my God. Oh, it's going to open up all these doors. Like, what would you say to a young athlete to be like, hey, this is, you know, a good way to almost like, here's a good filter for the people in your life to see if they're actually there for you as an individual.
Yeah, the parents thing is tough because, yeah. I mean, to feel like, I mean, the baby Gronk stuff makes me, you know,
and listen, the last thing I thought that we were going to talk about on this podcast is fucking baby Gronk, but I mean, here we are.
Here we are. That one's tough. And I mean, I think I'd be naive to say that, oh, like you just like cut off your parents or have that pushback on your parents. That's difficult. But I would think as you get older and to play high level sports, you have to have some sort of awareness and you have to take ownership of your career and your team and who you're being invested with. As you get into 17, 18, 19, 16, 17, 18, 19, I would argue that most athletes have that internal compass of, you know, who do I need to be around? And at that point, when you're starting to bring in maybe sports psychologists or private coaches or high school coaches or college coaches, lean into the people that you have, you know, your gut saying, hey, this guy's dialed, this guy's right. We all know the people that are a little bit sneezy, trying to make a buck, trying to get internal, trying to, you know, we know when it's a little bit corny or a little bit off. And I would push athletes to say at a certain point, you got to take ownership of your career. And at a certain point, you're the man in the arena where it's not baby Gronk's dad. And it's got to be you saying, hey, I don't like this coach, or hey, I'm in this saddle and this coach isn't doing something for me, or hey, I need this help. Lean into the external resources that I think are much more prevalent now than they were a decade ago. And especially with the access on social media, right? It takes one DM to reach out to a coach and say, hey, can I get your 2 cents here and there? And I'm not saying this is easy, but I am saying that, you know, at a certain point, if you're really going to be a high level athlete, you got to take ownership of your career. And I think with that comes maybe having difficult conversations with your parents, which might be uncomfortable, but I'd be willing to bet if baby Gronk was 17 or 18, and he had a grown-up conversation with his dad that it's getting out of control with this, or hey, dad, I respect how you're doing this, but this is how I see it. That if baby Gronk's dad really wanted him to be a elite level quarterback, or he plays tight end, obviously, like I think he would respect that when it's all said and done.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
What experience, this is a bit of a backtrack, but I mean, you go through all of these experiences, it's your life, you know, you're playing football, I'm going to guess you wanted to play in the league, I'm just going to go out on a bit of a limb. You know, you go through all of this shit, man, and like, it's your life. It's tough, right? Like, you know, you work so, and I've listened to podcasts, and I've seen some interviews that you've done, and like, it's hard, objectively, like all the work that you put in, like, I mean, it seems like you got a good work ethic, Christ. I mean, I've seen some of the stuff. I mean, it's apparent that you're a hard worker. And I mean, you go through all of this stuff, and then, you know, the hurt that comes with things not going exactly kind of like how you want it to, or you work so hard to achieve this goal and the goal just, you know, continues to be elusive. You know, along this kind of healing process that comes with redefining who I am, flipping the page, writing this new chapter, who, like, I am in control of, like, my narrative. Was there an experience or words or person or just thing that brought you the most personal healing along the past, like, let's say, like, 5, 6, 7 years?
Right when you say that question, the guy that sticks out is Gary Vaynerchuk. Mm. For those that don't follow him, I would say you might be living under a little bit of a rock. Is that too extreme? I don't know. He's got like 10 million
followers. I don't think so. I mean, this guy's everywhere. Yeah.
This guy's everywhere. But for those that don't know, a great follow on Instagram, super cutting edge with both business thoughts. And the reason that he's my answer to this question is he at the time was the only guy, or he at the, in call it 2017, 2018, the blunt, the harsh reality of accepting where you're at. A little bit, he's a little bit cutthroat in terms of, he's not like some of the hard-o Navy SEAL guys that you might listen to on YouTube, that it's, you know, that's a whole different element. Gary's a little bit in the middle ground of, he's blunt, he's brutally honest, but he delivers it in a way that is inspiring, encouraging. It's matter of fact, it's taking accountability. And when I was transitioning, or I got hurt my last year in college and spent about a year and a half training to try to get in the NFL. And then I actually worked for Gary V, which is a big reason why this is the answer to my question, all of 2019. And his content just really struck a chord with me of, you know, putting in the work, the looking at your life through a wider lens. And just a lot of his messages about just how he approaches his life and how he approaches his failures and embraces his failures, that really struck a chord with me in a time where everyone was telling me kind of the opposite, right? Like, oh, Max, you had it, like, had a great run, or oh, Max, like, look back on your high school career, like, you had a lot of success. And that just, I appreciated that people's heart were in a good spot, but it just did not relate to me. And at the time, Gary's content did. It was an absolute pleasure working for him. And that whole period in late 2018, 2019, where I was still frustrated with how my football career ended. There might be even a little bit of bitterness towards the game of football at that time. That really helped me get going down a healthy path into 2020 and then into the life that I've built now.
Was there any specific advice that, like, really stuck with you? Like, you kind of remember word for word, or a general kind of theme that just has stuck with you from that time?
The general theme of seeking out failures and accept your failures. And his term about, like, I love losing, which sounds ridiculous. And I know in a, just hearing that term, it's ridiculous. But when you understand the scope of it, what he's saying is when you lose, it gives you lessons, it gives you learnings, it gives you scar tissue. And that mentality, I think if you leverage that accordingly, it can be really valuable for the rest of your life. And I've felt that. I've felt that of, you know, the failures in my football career. You know, you don't get bogged down with the little stuff as much, right? I mentioned it earlier. I'm able to take maybe greater risk. I'm willing to put myself out there. My day-to-day job is 100% commissioned job. I don't know if I would have done that without my football failures. Some of his overall view on perspective, right? Yeah. He's saying, you know, I think he's 48 now. And he always says, man, I'm just getting going. And he's right. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of people that says, man, you're crazy. 48. I'm retiring in 12 years. Gary's saying, no, I got another 40 year window with health, maybe 50 year window to, like, to make plays and keep pushing. And that just overall thought process is how I'm hoping to live my life as well.
If Gary buys the Jets, you're going to go work on the coaching staff?
Hey, give me in the front office. The coaching life's too gnarly for me. Hey, I hope he does it. That's how I got the job, funny enough. So I'm buddies with Sam Darnold. And when Sam was the first round pick for the Jets, that was my in with Gary, and never looked back.
It's amazing, man. Very cool. What's like, you know, are there any kind of moments? And I think that when a conversation gets too, what have you learned? What are the lessons? I'm always, like, really kind of curious to know, like, what are the best times that, like, stand out from, like, you know, your playing days or growing up? Like, just, are there, like, what are some of the memories that you have that you're just like, fuck, like, that's something that through all of the ups and downs, nobody could ever take away from me, is like how I felt in this moment.
There's two that stick out. My senior year of high school, when I won the state championship, I went to a, and it's like classic, like talking about high school and all that. But I say this, I say that through the lens of, I was the number one quarterback in the country. I was a five-star recruit, could have gone to college, knew where I wanted. But I went to a public high school, and I won state with my childhood friends that I've known since third, fourth, fifth, sixth grade, like way back when. And nowadays, all the top quarterbacks, I feel like, go to private schools, and it's a little bit more of a business earlier on. And to win state, to look back on that field, that was my dream since I was like 5 years old. And before I even knew what kind of prayer was all about, I remember my like one prayer was like, my senior year of high school, please help me win state, like all that type of stuff. Like that was the mission and the dream. And at that moment, to look back on the field with your best high school friends and feel like you've accomplished like the childhood, literally dream. And I always say I had a fairy tale childhood. It was kind of encapsulated in that moment. And then to also at that time, know what I had ahead of me. At that time, Lane Kiffin, who was my head coach, was at that game. And just you're thinking that, hey, this is going to be amazing, right? You're going to ride off into the sunset. And this is the mission and the path that, you know, lights me up. That was a special, special feeling. And then another one that sticks out, which is the totally opposite, is when I guess there's a few kind of parlays here, but when I got named starter at USC, that meeting with Clay Helton, I'd been through a lot. I'd been there for 4 years, and I had won some awards along the way that play into this of, there was like a Navy SEAL workout that I remember I was the backup quarterback that got invited to, and I like dominated it, which sounds like, Max, like, why are you talking about that? But like at the time, I was not in a great place, and that workout really proved to myself that like, hey, I don't know what's going to happen here, but it's not going to be because I didn't show up, and it's not going to be because I didn't work hard. And I think that moment really stuck into me. And when I got named the starter, I looked back on a moment like that. I looked back on a moment of getting weightlifter of the year as a redshirt freshman. We're like, those are little moments along the way where you really get an internal sense that like, hey, the media can say this, and you can put me in an article, say I'm one of the biggest busts of the 2010s and all that. But like, I know, my teammates know, and my coaches know that moment. And it really, all that hard work was paid off when I was named starter and captain in August of 2016 at SC, which was a special thing. And I look back on that with a lot of pride, because even though my career didn't work out, those moments are the ones where I kind of the proverbial kind of tipped the cap to myself a little bit about the process and how I handled things. And a lot of pride in that for sure.
Yeah. And that's beautiful, man. Right. Like you look back on those and you go, I worked like really hard. And I feel like there's something so beautiful about being able to like look back at a point in your life and being like, I mean, hell, I'll use a podcasting example. You know, I've been doing this for 4 years. This podcast has been a huge part of my life. It's something that like came into my life at a time where my mental health wasn't in a good place. And now my mental health is in a great place. And this podcast is like a huge point of that. And it's so fun to like look back and say like, this podcast isn't a top 10 podcast. It's not a top 50 podcast in the world or anything like that. But to look back on some of the times and be like, I didn't have to work that hard. I didn't have to put the time in. I didn't have to do these things, but I did. And I'm really proud of that period of my life. It's a really like, it's very fulfilling when you look forward and you go, I know how much work I put in to make this thing that I cared about happen. And like, regardless if it happens or not, I put the work in. It's great.
What was the hardest time period for you there? Like, was it the first month staying consistent? Was it year three when it might have been a lull, or how do you view that?
So it's a bit of a long story. We got a couple more minutes, and then I want to transition into a couple kind of like wrap up questions that I released to our Patreon subscribers. Just kind of a fun little wrap up chat. So the first little bit that I was working on it, I kind of was in this place in my life where like, you know, and not to kind of go down any kind of rabbit holes. I was in a really bad place in my life. It was, my mental health was in shambles. I didn't really look forward with much of a future. I just kind of thought like on the day to day, it kind of hurt. And so I actually had something that was kind of like bringing me joy on the day to day. So at first the podcast was like super easy. I would say about 3 years into the podcast is when it really kind of became a bit of a slug, like where you're like dragging it through the mud, where there was a bunch of opportunity. I'm 24 now. There was a bunch of opportunities in my life that were kind of coming up. And one of the opportunities that came up was to participate on a reality TV show up in Canada. and you know, where I'm from. And this thing, like, this thing was on my radar for a year. I like worked out specifically for this thing. I was doing a bunch of like, I was like very dedicated to like pursuing this opportunity, thinking that like once I got off this thing and had this public exposure, the podcast will take off. It'll take care of itself. And I'll be in this upper stratosphere of podcasting where like I put it on easy street. I just focus on getting like the best possible guests I can. I don't have to worry about anything else. And then I go and I do this thing. And I was out like 4 weeks, one of the worst players in Big Brother history, crashed and burned on the flight home, sitting there being like, what the fuck just happened? and I get home, and this year of just like putting all of this, I have to prepare. I've got to put all this pressure. I have to be successful at this thing because I care about it so much. And all of a sudden I'm back and I'm sitting in front of my podcast mic and I'm like, I don't want to fucking do this right now. Like, I don't, yep. I'm already dealing with so many other things, getting the hate, getting all the threat, my family being super affected by the hate that was coming my way. And I was like, there's so much going on. And to make a podcast was grueling. I went like 5 or 6 months without putting a single podcast out because every time I sat in front of the mic or put in it, like, I'm not going to lie, man, there was a few times where like I reached out to interviewees. And the day of the podcast, I'm super sick. I can't make it just because I just didn't have the capacity to like be in a vulnerable state and open up and have like a exchanging of thoughts. And so during that period, that was the time where it was really like, it truly felt like getting back into that groove was like fucking putting the work boots on, putting the backpack on and like putting my head down and being like, one day at a time. All right. One interview at a time, one conversation, press the button, hit record, whatever comes out, comes out. Let's just get back into our groove. That was when it really, that 3 to 4 year, that was tough. That was not fun.
Good on you. I mean, for me, like, you know, I relate to that in terms of like my social content of like, I'll take lapses of not doing anything and it's hard to ramp back up. So good on you for ramping back up. And also probably, I mean, hopefully you're being, that's the challenge for me is always being kind to myself and not being like, gosh, dang it. I missed an opportunity with those 5 months. I didn't post, like, you know, I missed the momentum there, but it's like, life. Yeah. Like, it's totally natural that you had that, you know, Big Brother, like your emotions, they're like, anyone would be that. If you weren't that way, then you'd be like a robot and that's not good either.
Right. No, it is actually funny when you mentioned Gary Vee, a lot of Gary Vee stuff, man, that clicked for me as well. It was like, you know, I'm just getting going. I'm like, okay, I'm all right. It's fine. I don't have to be like, it doesn't have to be every, you know, week, whatever. Like I can take this time, take care of myself, get my mentals right, and then get back at it. All right, man. The last question I want to ask you before, and I appreciate the question. It's really nice. The last question is just kind of like, a general message for athletes, young athletes who are listening to this podcast, a lot of the young men who listen to this podcast, which I'm fortunate to have a great male listenership for a mental health podcast. You know, so many of them are kind of like that high school, early university age. Some of them are high level athletes. Is there any kind of like last message that you would leave for somebody who is maybe in a similar circumstance that you might have been at 15, 16, 17, and a message that maybe you wish you had known that now you can pass on to them?
Yeah. I would say keep it fun forever. Mm. Not as long as you can. Keep it fun forever. And it's so like cliche, but I think it's important for a guy like myself where things didn't work out to really hammer that home. And even if you're a 13-year-old and your dad's like, you know, annoying you about you know, the going training and all that, find a way to keep it fun. Even if that's, you know, I see a lot of young athletes, if they're doing football year round, that's where it doesn't become fun. So maybe you pick up another sport, maybe you have a different pursuit. And I promise you, you're not going to miss out if you take a 3-month, 4-month hiatus and play basketball or golf or whatever, and then come back with new energy in your sport. Even if it's later on, like for me, I look back at my college career and this is where I struggled. I struggled to keep it fun. It was so intense for me. And I look back with some compassion for myself on that because, I mean, it was USC football. It was the highest stakes. But the guys that I played with that had the most success, I look at a Sam Darnold. I look at a Juju Smith-Schuster. I look at a Leonard Williams, who's one of the best defensive linemen in the NFL. Those guys kept it fun first. Those were not the guys that were pounding their head against the pavement every single day. They were the guys that, I mean, Juju and Leonard, like, you know, they were goofing around a little bit, but that's because of that's why they had success. I firmly believe that is they didn't tap into this just heaviness in the weight of the sport. And so, if you're a guy that's listening to that and say, Max, like, I relate to your mindset more. I'm intense. I really want this. I'm not necessarily Leonard or Juju. I would push you to talk to someone, you know, talk to a sports psychologist if you can, to try to unlock maybe those moments in your workout or your practice routine where you're adding more weight to your training and your practices, and try to utilize some strategies to not get going down the path. Cause there are tactical ways that I think you can intentionally not put yourself in those weight of the world on my shoulders that I think would have freed me up, especially early on in my career. Wouldn't have put as much pressure on myself, would have had more fun for sure, which is not only more enjoyable, but I would pound the pavement to say that you'll play better as a result as well.
I'm not sure what's next for Max, but man, like I'm telling you, the way that he thinks, that willingness to do the deep work, his passion, his character, like he's just got that, just like thing. You know, talking to him was such a fantastic experience, sharing in that moment, in that space together, celebrating the things that make us. The way he talks about that, the way he articulates all that, that's just special. And I've spent enough time around athletes through, you know, my degree and the pod, and then enough entrepreneurs through my work, that like some people just, I don't know. It's one of those things where you think about the fact, you go, I don't know what this person's going to do, but I bet you they're going to do it. And Max has that thing. So it was super cool to be able to sit down with him and chop it up. If you want to check out the rest of our conversation, you can watch the exclusive extended interview over on our YouTube channel, which will be linked in the description. And make sure to follow Max on Instagram at Max Brown. Remember, I mentioned the Max Down Breakdowns. You gotta go show the guy some love. So on Instagram at Max Brown. And while you're there, check us out at Life's Work Podcast. I hope that this chat inspires you to continue to celebrate yourself, your experiences, the world of mental health, and start some conversations in your own life about the beautiful wrecks that we all are. And remember that the whole point of celebrating the fact that we are wrecks, that embracing that life is a wreck, it is embracing our flawed self. We are being unashamed to fail and try again, to find perfection in the imperfection and not pass up a chance to grow. It is an opportunity to be whole, to be us. And what more could you ever want than that? Just remember that through all of it, the highs and lows, the ups and downs, the good days and the bad days, that life's a wreck. And I will see you in a few weeks.
It's a wreck.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.